Let's turn now in our Bibles to the 14th chapter of John, and we'll begin with verse 16. Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." We'd like to tonight begin sort of a mini-series within the series as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We've been talking about the baptism or the filling or whatever you want to title it, this relationship that a believer can have to the Holy Spirit, the releasing of the Spirit, the outflowing of the Spirit from my life. One thing to be filled, another thing to be overflowing. One thing to have the Spirit indwelling me and coming into my life, it's another thing to have the Holy Spirit flowing forth out of my life. But that work of the Holy Spirit in my life, we'd like to take a look at that, and then we will look at the gifts of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit flows forth from my life and the various gifts of the Spirit. But that inward work of the Holy Spirit. This phrase, another Comforter. The word "another" there in the Greek is allos, which means of the same kind or equal quality. Another, of the same order, the same kind, equal quality. There is another Greek word that is translated "another," and the word means of a different quality. You can have another. You might be going to a Hertz rental car, and they say, "Well, you've ordered a little compact Geo, but we happen to be out of that right now, but we can give you another car, a Lincoln Town Car, for the same price." Well, that would be the heteros. It isn't the same quality or the same, you know. If you had ordered a town car and they say, "Well, we can't give you that, but we'll give you a Cadillac, you know, or something," then that's sort of the same quality. So when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit being of the same quality, he is actually here ascribing to the Holy Spirit the quality of divinity. He is declaring that the Holy Spirit is God. "I have been with you. I'm going away. I will pray the Father. He will give you another, allos, of the same quality, the same kind, Comforter." The word "comforter" in Greek is paraclete, which means one who would come alongside of you to take up your case or to plead your case. Or, as it is used here, to aid you in any way. Now, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you another Comforter, one of the same quality, who will aid you in any way. Now, Jesus has been talking to his disciples about his being betrayed, being put to death. He has been telling them that he is going away, And where he is going, they can't come right now. And all of this talk, they don't understand. They cannot comprehend the delay of the establishing of the kingdom. In their minds, Jesus is still going to set up the kingdom almost immediately. And when he talks about going away, you can't come now, it troubles them. When he talks about death, it troubles them. And so at the beginning of this chapter, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And they were indeed troubled. He said he was going away to prepare a place for them, that he would come again and receive him unto himself. But these are mysterious sayings. These are troubling sayings. You see, Jesus had been a real defense for them. The scribes and the Pharisees liked to pick on the disciples. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, where Jesus saw a great multitude of people gathered around the disciples. And the scribes were there questioning them. It created sort of a big crowd. And you know, when you get people arguing, a crowd will gather. And Jesus came up and he said, "What are you talking to them about? I mean, he's, you know, my little lambs, you don't pick on them." And they are, you know, they were would say to Jesus, "Now, how come your disciples eat with unwashed hands?" Well, Jesus always had such a good defense. I mean, he could just lay it out and silence them. Why do your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? And Jesus, talks about David eating showbread, which wasn't lawful and so forth. And he had he was such a powerful defender. Now, how are they going to defend themselves against these scholars?